In the name of the living Lord, in the name of Jesus our Savior, amen. I would invite you to turn again to our text, the one that I read just a moment ago for you, the reading from Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible at home, if you're a visitor with us tonight, we invite you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can study and read God's Word throughout the week. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. As we look at the book of Acts, we're called to see Pentecost. And we pray, Lord, give us a Pentecost. Lord, how we need a Pentecost today. As you look at Acts chapter 1, Luke, the author of Acts, is saying to Theophilus, O Theophilus, I wrote that first book for you, that is, the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, I explained to you how Jesus suffered many things, how Jesus came into this world and lived his earthly life, how he suffered and died and rose again, Acts chapter 1 says, so that you could be forgiven your sins. What God promised, what God commanded then, was that the apostles should stay in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus said, I have a gift for you. My Father has a gift for you. And you go to Jerusalem, and there you should wait. And when the time is right, God will give that precious gift. The apostles waited. They wondered. They tried to figure out what that gift was. And I'm sure it was hard for them to wait. It's hard for us to wait, too. Even when we know there's a great gift coming, we can't hardly wait. And I imagine that was the case for them. But when the time was fully come, when God's time was come, then God's Spirit was given to them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you. He will bless you. And there are three ways. First, he will convict you of sin, and he will show you sin in the world. Before we can understand the need for a Savior, before we can recognize what a blessing it is that God the Father in his love sent Jesus to come among us, to suffer and die and be raised again, before that's important to us, we need to know our own need. And if we don't recognize our sin, if we don't confess our sins, then the coming of the righteous one, the coming of Christ, means little or nothing to us. As the Spirit comes among you, as you hear the winds blowing, and that Spirit is among you, he will help you recognize your own sin and the sin of the world so that you can confess it and recognize its place in your life. And as the Spirit comes, secondly, he will speak to you of righteousness. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring to us what Jesus earned for us on the cross, his righteousness. Often when I'm teaching the confirmation students, I remind them that the water that comes into the taps of most of your homes comes from the Cheney Reservoir. Well, it's great that that reservoir is full, and especially with the rain now, I imagine even more full. But because the water is such a long way away, what good does it do us? We need a mechanism. We need a way for that water and those blessings to be brought to us. The pipes, the channels, however that water comes to us, brings it into our own homes, and then it becomes for us a blessing to wash and to drink and to bathe, to use in every way. Well, it's the same way with God's Spirit and his work among us. Jesus earned for us on the cross all the blessings of God's love, his forgiveness and mercy and grace and peace. All the blessings of God are for us by what Jesus did on the cross. But that's such a long way away that unless we have a way to receive those blessings, how can they be used by us? How can we benefit from them? So Luther said, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit working in, with, and under. God's Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us, brings us to the faith and keeps us in the faith. Secondly, as the Spirit comes, he comes to bring the righteousness of Jesus to us so that it will be ours. And thirdly, what Jesus says is as the Spirit comes, he comes to bring judgment. He reminds us that the devil and the world, the sinful world, and our sinful flesh are condemned by God. They are judged by God. And on the last day, the devil and all his wicked horde will be cast to hell so that they will never bother, never worry, never plague us again. As the Spirit comes, he will bring you understanding of sin and righteousness and judgment. And what we see then from our text tonight, from Acts chapter 2, is exactly what God had promised in Jesus, is what we see in Acts chapter 2. On that first Pentecost, long ago, the Spirit of God did come, as Jesus had promised. And as our lesson for tonight reminds us, the Spirit, in what looked like fire, divided, it separated, and the tongues of fire lit on the heads of each of those who heard the word of God proclaimed. And as you heard some of our speakers do a few moments ago, these itinerant Galileans, these simple fishermen who were not learned men, began to speak the message of the gospel in languages that they had never studied, languages they didn't understand. It was God's Spirit at work through them as they spoke in tongues so that each person from all over the known world who had gathered in Jerusalem could hear the message of the gospel proclaimed to them so that they too could hear and believe and be saved. God caused Pentecost to come to them so that they might hear the message of the gospel and believe and be saved. How we need a Pentecost today. You know, we've often thought that we live in a Christian nation. I guess there's probably some debate about that, whether our founding was Christian at all or not. But the way we live and the country in which we live now is further and further away from Christian life and living. You know, I wonder if we're not facing today more like what the first church did in the first century. A pagan people, a people far away from God. How many generations, how many families don't know what you and I know, and that is the message of salvation? How many people, how many generations have never come into a Christian church? It may amaze you that that's exactly what our country has become. That's what our society is like. And we find ourselves today, like the early church, needing to proclaim Christ to some who may never have heard of him. We need a Pentecost today too, because oftentimes many of our churches have become apathetic churches. As we think about our own church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as we think of other mainline denominations, we recognize that many of them continue to shrink in numbers as the years go by. Fewer and fewer in those churches, fewer and fewer hearing the gospel, fewer and fewer receiving the sacraments to be empowered and strengthened and sent out into our world. How we need a Pentecost today in our church bodies and also in our congregation. I don't know if you saw it as I was speaking, but on the right side, the lower portion of the screen, it was filled with people, and then some of those people disappeared. How many people do you know who used to sit in the pews around you are no longer here? There are probably many. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, it wasn't that long ago since we saw them. But you might be surprised when you look to find out how long it really has been. How do you reach out to them? How do you show them that you care? Have you contacted? Do you write? Do you call? Do you invite? We have to be careful lest we become apathetic Christians, leaving it up to someone else, not being concerned if we're here, isn't that enough? And the answer for Pentecost is no. The answer for Pentecost is the Spirit comes among us to point out our sin of apathy and to help us to know we need the righteousness that comes from Christ alone, to be forgiven and empowered to be His people as God calls us to live for Him. Recently, a number of you came to a workshop that was held here at Holy Cross on church planting in the Kansas District. Now, I know it's not obvious to see on this map, it's hard to see, but this is the state of Kansas, and the colors that are represented here show the people that are unclaimed by the gospel. This is how people report themselves, whether they are part of a Christian church or not. What we've highlighted here is Sedgwick County, the county in which we sit. You probably can't see the number, but it says that 49% of the people in this county don't claim to be members of a Christian church. In their own reporting, 49% of the people say they don't have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those that say they do, do you imagine that all of them do? As it's self-reported, there are probably many of them who say, yes, they're a member of a Christian church, but they seldom, if ever, attend. Our work is cut out for us. The area in which we live, about one out of two people you see, every other person is not a believer in Christ. We need a Pentecost today. We need God's Spirit at work within us, the Holy Spirit empowering and strengthening and forgiving us, and then sending us as missionaries to our neighbors and the people in our workplaces, to those in the schools we attend, everywhere we are. God calls us to be filled on Pentecost with His Spirit, empowered and sent out by Him to be the people the church He calls us to be. Just a few moments ago, I showed the children that illustration of the gloves. What kind of glove are you? What talents and gifts and abilities has God given you? Which of these gloves might best represent you and what you're like, your abilities and talents and gifts? Recognize that God is calling all of you to serve Him. To recognize that Pentecost is for us. The Spirit fills us so that He might use us and equip us and send us for the purpose for which He's created us, to be His children in mission to those who need to hear the message of the gospel. That gospel message is Jesus. Jesus coming among us. Jesus coming to forgive our sins, our sin of apathy. Jesus coming here to empower our witness, to empower our serving, so that we might serve and please Him. He comes to save us, and He comes to bring us the message of salvation for all the world. In the opening tonight, as we spoke together those opening sentences, there were words from the gospel reading, the words of life, living waters. God calls us for those living waters to well up within us. As you hear the waters of the baptismal font, you can think of those waters of life in you. I'm also reminded when I hear this text of an artesian spring that I visited many years ago. One of my best friends from college was a hog farmer in southwest Minnesota. And there were times we would visit his farm in Minnesota, and as we visited, there was one time he said, well, would you like to go with me to northern Minnesota? And as we traveled, I'd like for you to see this artesian spring. I thought, well, okay, if that's fun in Minnesota, I guess I'll go. And what he said was that the water was so clear, so good tasting, so cold, and so plentiful that people from all around, miles and hundreds of miles would come to the artesian spring, and they'd bring with them every sort of container to be able to capture the water and take it back home with them. And as we did, when we went to visit this artesian spring, the water was wonderful. It was delightful. It was good water. And people were collecting it. And as the water welled up, it couldn't be stopped. Day or night, it ran solid. Every season of the year, even when it was frozen all the way around, water continued to gush forth. That's the picture Jesus has for us. The well of salvation, the living water, Jesus, welling up within us, not contained, not to be stopped, all the time, 24/7, living for him and him living in us. How desperately we need a Pentecost today in our church body and also in our congregation. We pray, living God, forgive us our apathy and change our apathy into action. Spirit of the living God, replace our contentment with burning desire to serve you. Living God, Spirit of the living God, work in us and with us and through us. Empower us and equip us to be your people today. Lord, use us. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus and his Spirit at work in us and through us and among us. Amen.